Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Everyone is talking about If.
I'm going to go on a limb here, but I like it. I love it.
It's original and heartfelt.
Ta-da!
And the must-see comedy of the summer that's perfect for the whole family.
This is just so exciting.
If. Rated PG. Now playing in theaters.
What if I told you imaginary friends are real?
This is just so exciting.
Now, get ready for the movie event with the greatest cast you've ever imagined.
Showtime.
Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski, Kaylee Fleming, Fiona Shaw, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, George Clooney, Maya Rudolph, Bradley Cooper, Sebastian Maniscalco, Jon Stewart, Sam Rockwell, Awkwafina, Keegan-Michael Key, and Steve Carell.
I need to throw up or I need a snack. It's one of the two.
Gross.
If. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Written and directed by John Krasinski.
Welcome back to another edition of Through the Smoke, a Miami Hurricanes football and recruiting and transfer portal podcast here on the 24/7 Sports Network. David Lake joined, as always, by Gabby Urrutia. We're here to discuss the news coming out of the weekend from the transfer portal. Miami goes four new additions from the portal. We'll dive into that. First, want to highlight again. One of our key sponsors here for the podcast, Canes Connection. They are Miami's collective, plays a big role in Miami landing these type of transfer portal additions. CanesConnection.com, again, promo code 247 gets you 20% off your first month's membership there at Canes Connection. CanesConnection.com, you can see the different tiers that they have for memberships starting at $25. Goes all the way up to $1,000 per month. So support the program that way if you have the means to. It is definitely the best way to support the program because those funds go directly to Miami Hurricanes student athletes. And it is very important nowadays to have a strong, organized collective, and Miami's Canes Connection definitely checks those boxes, and those guys do a great job over there. So let's jump into the podcast here, Gabby. We're going to keep this kind of a rapid fire-ish style podcast just because news is happening quick and we have busy schedules. So I want to keep this relatively short and sweet today. Just want to mention that on the front end. But let's talk about these commitments. Miami landed four transfer portal commitments over the weekend. Running back Damian Martinez from Oregon State. Wide receiver Sam Brown out of Houston, linebacker Jalen Alderman out of Louisville, and cornerback Diani Hill out of Marshall. Let's start with the headliner commitment, the first guy to jump on board here over the weekend, and that is Damian Martinez, the running back out of Oregon State, gave his pledge to Miami on Saturday night. He is a big body back, 6 foot, 230 pounds. We've talked about him a bunch already on the podcast here. 1,185 yards and 9 touchdowns last season for the Beavers. He is graded out as a 4-star, 93 transfer grade, according to 24/7 Sports. He is the number 2 running back available in the portal this offseason. Gabby, how big is this commitment?
I mean, this is massive, right? We went into this portal season with Miami having that running back position circled as one of the team's top needs. Henry Parrish moved on from the program. You know, Trevante Citizen moved on. Mark Fletcher kind of nursing some stuff that, he suffered during the bowl game and beyond. So Miami, I think they felt like they needed to go get a running back one. And Damian Martinez quickly became, the top target once he hit the portal. You know, Matt Merritt went out to go see him in Dallas right before he started the visits, again, right before his visit to Miami. And, this weekend they were able to shut it down. So, looking at Damian Martinez, just being able to size him up on Sunday, just being able to chat with him after his trip. Legit 6 foot, legit 235 plus pounds. Definitely looks like a big, strong running back who's, again, what he does just with the ball in his hands. You turn on the tape, it all speaks for itself. What he's able to do after contact, how he can still kind of make people miss and be sort of slippery at that big size. He has lofty goals. He wants to be the number one running back off the board in the 2025 NFL draft. So Miami's getting, a two-time all-conference tailback, a guy who was a first-team all-conference selection as a true sophomore. So again, I think Damian Martinez, I think, is a really, really big win for Miami. You talk about balance, you talk about just being able to attack defenses with a quarterback like Cam Ward and how he naturally opens up some run lanes, and being able to have a guy in Damian Martinez to be able to kind of take advantage of that, keep defenses guessing, just having to cover basically every inch of every blade of grass on the field. I think it makes Miami's offense extremely, extremely explosive and much more versatile, much more balanced. And again, I think it's a really huge addition for Miami.
Yeah, we can get into more like details of what these additions mean in a later podcast when we kind of do like a holistic deal, long form deal. I do think one thing that's interesting, pairing this with the recent NFL draft, you mentioned how he was a first team all Pac-12 selection, I believe, by the coaches in the Pac-12, along with Cal's Jaden Ott, who is a big time running back as well. The Pac-12 had two guys at running back that were selected in this NFL draft, in Marshawn Lloyd from USC. I believe he was a third rounder, and then Bucky Irving from Oregon, I believe, was a fourth rounder this past year. So again, NFL draft stuff's different in terms of just projections and all that. Who knows what this is going to mean for Damian Martinez, but he was a first team selection ahead of two guys like that. All right, let's go to the other big time addition from the weekend via the transfer portal. About 24 hours later, so on Sunday night, wide receiver Sam Brown out of Houston gave his commitment officially to the Hurricanes. He goes about 6'2", 200, four-star, 92 transfer grade. Many think he was the best available wide receiver in the portal during the spring window. My understanding, Gabby, is this one kind of came down to Miami and Texas A&M as a transfer recruitment battle. Last year at Houston, he had 815 yards and 3 touchdowns in 2023. What is Miami getting in Sam Brown?
Yeah, I think Miami's getting another 800-plus yard receiver. I mean, Miami's got 3 of those now. I think it's a huge addition for the Hurricanes. I think a big kind of spark plug in this process was Cam Ward being out in Houston right when Sam Brown kind of hit the portal, and those two kind of connecting and being able to throw together. There was a natural chemistry there that Sam Brown talked about. Just getting down to Miami, it kind of felt like that was sort of a catalyst to the two parties kind of coming together. And, Sam Brown, look, he's a highly productive, wide receiver. Again, kind of go back to that Texas game, 4 catches for, 80 yards, averaged over 20 yards per catch. I think he had like a 50-yard catch and run in that game against, college football playoff, contender or team, really. And again, so you talk about outside wide receiver, a guy on the outside with size, with experience. I think this is going to be year 5 at the college level for Sam Brown. And again, the production, I think it checks off all the boxes that Miami was sort of looking for in the transfer portal at the position. And again, you consider the names that sort of emerged. And yeah, I think there's plenty of people who feel like Sam Brown is one of, if not the best, outside wide receiver who hit the portal, during this spring window. So I think that this is a big win for Miami, considering what was on the market.
I think the easy thing to try and grade this addition by is comparing him to Colby Young, who Miami lost in the portal to Georgia in the winter window. Colby Young played that X receiver spot last year for Miami, a little taller than Sam Brown. And I would describe the differences, Gabby, as Colby's probably a better contested catch guy than Sam. I think Colby, he did have some frustrating drops last year, but I still think it's fair to say he's a slightly better contested catch guy than Sam Brown. Sam Brown's not bad in that regard. It's just Colby's got better size and probably just a little bit better, through contact making those catches. But what Sam Brown does bring is a little more juice as a yards after catch threat than Colby. And look, in this air raid system that Shannon Dawson has installed at Miami, the tunnel screen game is a big part of that. And now with a guy like Sam Brown, that tunnel screen threat to me, Gabby, is there on both sides of the field.
Definitely.
With a guy like Sam Brown who can take that play a pretty good distance, and a Jacoby George. So to me, that's an interesting little, football nerd difference between Sam Brown and Colby Young. So I don't know if you want to add anything else about Sam Brown or go on.
No, I mean, I definitely don't push back against that. I think Sam Brown gives you some more of that, just what you're talking about, even the short to intermediate game. Again, the catch and run stuff, I think, is a big difference between, against Sam Brown and Colby Young. And look, I just want to also emphasize that Miami's also excited about Isaiah Horton. Isaiah Horton can do a lot of these things too. He's just a younger guy who's still kind of coming along.
I think they're similar players.
Honestly. Definitely. And I think it's honestly a good I think it's a good example, to Isaiah Horton to kind of see the way an older guy sort of operates. That's very similar to him. And Cam Ward and Isaiah Horton are very close as well. So I think that there's just plenty in the wide receiver room that just Miami's excited about, beyond the, again, you'll see the 3 800 yard guys. But I think, even the guys beyond that, I think Miami's still very excited about the group as a whole.
Yeah. I think you're looking at Ray Joseph as well. And I think you're looking at JoJo Trader. So, six intriguing wide receivers, with three of the top three guys being proven production guys. All right, next we'll talk about Jalen Alderman, linebacker addition out of Louisville. To me, Gabby, we've kind of been banging the drum this offseason that Miami really does want to go out and add kind of a proven vet at linebacker to shore up that group. And Alderman is a guy that played 600 snaps or so last year for Louisville. At Miami, I think he projects more as a solid rotational guy. I don't know if he's necessarily going to beat out Wesley Bissaint. Obviously, Kiko is cemented in his middle linebacker role. But I do think Jalen Alderman is a guy with some talent. I would characterize him, just watching him a little bit, Gabby, he's more talented and he's more athletic, maybe slightly less instinctual. But I think he's kind of like a plus version of Corey Flagg, which I think is what you kind of want in a third linebacker. Again, Miami played a lot of 3-3-5 last year when they had to. I think this year they will play more 3-3-5 because they want to, just for different matchups, et cetera, et cetera. I still think four down linemen is their base defense, but I think they do see a lot of value in being able to switch different defensive fronts depending on matchups, et cetera. And so look, Jalen Alderman helps them with that. Gives them three veteran linebackers with real experience. And also, too, just having that depth. If you're, playing that 4-2-5 and one of those top two linebackers goes down, boom, you can plug in a Jalen Alderman. Similar to what you're saying at receiver, Gabby, I don't think Miami's down on any of their younger depth. I just think they need one more year of seasoning. And look, they're still probably going to get on the field in some smaller rotational way. But Jalen Alderman can kind of represent a bridge to those younger guys too.
I love the comparison, the Corey Flagg comparison that you gave. And that's almost exactly how he was described to me just during this process. Was Corey Flagg was obviously very physically limited, but I think internally Miami viewed Corey Flagg as an extremely brilliant, extremely instinctual. He kind of had the sort of intangibles. He just, wasn't blessed with the, size, the height, weight, speed stuff. I think Jalen Alderman brings all of those same sort of intangibles that Corey Flagg possessed, just the understanding of the game. Maybe not quite as, I don't know. I just think he's viewed as a person who could, one, just again, be that veteran experienced linebacker that Miami kind of rotate in. If they go base to that three linebacker front, they feel like they can throw Jalen Alderman into that mix. They also feel like Jalen Alderman is someone who's just going to kind of stay on the tail of Wesley Bissaint and Kiko Maweno. Again, this is a guy that started 14 games for the ACC runner-ups. Jalen Alderman can play. He's very familiar with the expectations that Derek Nicholson has for the linebackers. The expectation is not, Wesley Bissaint had a really good spring, Kiko Maunoa is obviously, you know, one of the best returning Mike linebackers in the conference. But I think Jalen Alderman is viewed as a guy who can push both of those guys, who can genuinely push both of those guys. And again, I think just in the spirit of competition, you know, that's what you want. You don't want anyone feeling like they're 100% comfortable in their role. So Jalen Alderman is someone who could absolutely push for a starting spot because he's the type of guy who's good enough to play and be a starting level linebacker. And, you know, I think best case scenario is he's linebacker three, and that says a lot about the linebacker room as a whole. And then, you know, you have a fourth guy, and whether that's Popo Aguirre, whether that's a Marcellius Pulliam or a Bobby Pruitt, one of Bobby those guys Pruitt. who can kind of continue to emerge and give those guys a little more time to develop. Like, you know, for example, Bobby Pruitt's probably around the 205-pound range. I think ideally they would like him to be in that 220-225 range. That could probably happen a year from now. Is he there right now? Probably not. But I think this gives Bobby Pruitt a little bit more time to physically develop while you don't need to rely on him as much to be on the field. And he could still play. Like, these guys could still get on the field, but you don't have to ask more of him, you know, as a young true freshman type. So, Miami is excited about this Jalen Alderman pickup. I think it's a really, really strong pickup to kind of solidify that linebacker room. I think that's important. As, again, you wrote it, David, talk about navigating a season. Jalen Alderman is a guy that, again, God forbid something were to happen, he's someone who could step up and provide you starter level play. So, yeah, I think Jalen Alderman is a nice pickup for Miami on defense.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2. Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to Paramount Plus to try it free. Terms apply.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Depth is very important. It, you know, it's kind of an underrated piece to putting together a big time season. But look, in football, injuries are inevitable. You got to have some depth to ensure that the injury isn't a massive deal and just kind of a thing where it's like, okay, we're not as strong here, but we can still get by. And I think Jalen Alderman definitely is more than that. And I think it's a smart pickup by Miami. Last one was Dyani Hill, the corner out of Marshall. He gives now Miami four guys with some experience at the cornerback position. Gabby, what's your impression of what Dyani can bring to the table?
Yeah, I think he's a, you know, potential rotational cornerback. Like, I still think that Miami feels really good about Daryl Porter and Damari Brown being 1 and 2. But again, I think it's important that you have multiple guys who can play the position. I think, you know, Dyani Hill's viewed as a strong tackler. Like, maybe he can give you some looks at the nickel. Like, maybe he can be a guy who kind of steps into that role. Like, I think that's on the table. You know, I think that gives you the flexibility to kind of potentially push Mish Powell to the back end. Again, Miami was looking for, I think they're going to explore all their options. You know, I think Dyani Hill, I think they brought him in because they think he can play. Again, he started 9 games at Marshall, has worked a lot with Lance Guidry, you know, from his true freshman season at Marshall when Guidry was coordinating that Marshall defense. He's spent 2 years developing under Chevis Jackson. So an opportunity to kind of continue that, you know, that track that he's on with the coach who kind of, you know, identified him and recruited him. He ended up being a very coveted cornerback in this transfer portal. I mean, Indiana, Cincinnati, West Virginia, Missouri were all on top of him. And, you know, I think he's a good player who, again, is still on that developmental track, but I think has promise. So, you know, I think I'm curious to see where Dyani Hill sort of slots in, but I think at worst, Miami just shored up that cornerback depth. And I think that's very important.
Yeah, you got to have four or five corners that you trust. He definitely is a guy that they can trust with his experience. And yeah, like I was saying, the nickel spot to me is intriguing with him. He's not the thickest guy, but neither was Tecori Couch last year.
Yeah.
The thing with Dayani is he does show some tackling chops. Like he missed, what, two tackles, I think, last year at Marshall. Now, does that translate to this power four level? That's probably the question that needs to be answered with him in terms of playing the nickel at this level. But I'm intrigued to see if that can be a role for him this season. All right, so let's talk about – so those are the commitments. There's also guys to know still that are either wrapping up visits or that visited and they are done. Anyways, Tyler Barron, defensive end from – I don't know. What are we calling it? Tennessee.
It's funny. Someone asked me that question earlier today. Like, what are we doing here? Because it's like he last played for Tennessee, but then he transferred to Louisville. But he's at the portal again, so never really played for Louisville. Didn't even participate in spring football.
Right.
I guess we have to call it Louisville.
Louisville. Yeah.
I guess he was technically enrolled there, but he last played at Tennessee. He mostly only played at Tennessee, so four-year contributor at Tennessee. You know, edge rusher, a guy who's, again, played his best football during that 2023 season. Big, big-looking kid, 6'5", 260 pounds. I think one of the top edge rushers in the transfer portal as a veteran guy who's, again, I think he has over 100 career pressures, you know, during his time at Tennessee. Yeah. I think he had a career-high 41 this past 2023 season. 10.5 tackles for loss. Was it 6.5 sacks or something like that? Maybe 7.5 sacks. He's a big dude. And, you know, Miami has a good defensive end room with Ruben Bain, Akeem Mesidor, Elijah Alston. But this is a guy that just kind of would kind of just take it to the next level. And he's the only visitor from this past weekend who has not committed. You know, he hasn't made his decision yet. I'm getting pretty good feedback on just how the visit went. I know he spent a ton of time with Jason Taylor, the NFL Hall of Famer, of course, who is extremely, extremely high on Barron. You know, I think when he was at Louisville, he didn't participate in spring football because he was kind of cleaning up a shoulder. I think it was maybe a labrum or something along those lines. Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the first priorities for Miami this weekend was kind of checking out that shoulder, see where it was at. I don't definitely know what the result of that was, but what I do know is that Miami didn't slow down their pursuit of him after kind of getting, you know, going through that medical process. So, again, I still think that there's not a clear, definitive answer on what that shoulder situation looks like. But I think to me personally, it's telling that Miami is kind of continuing to keep their foot on the gas as far as trying to get him into the program. You know, so I think maybe there's perhaps some optimism. This is just me speaking. This is not me reporting that. So I think there could potentially be some optimism that his shoulder is good enough where he will be able to play in 2024. I think Ole Miss is still a school on the table here. I think that the Rebels are definitely probably the one to watch. That's who he was actually committed to when he first transferred from Tennessee. He committed to Ole Miss, and then he flipped to Louisville, and now he's back in the transfer portal. So lots of fun, you know, typical. This is college football in 2024 in a nutshell. Tyler Barron, but good player, a guy who has basically 6 months left on his clock and can definitely help the Hurricanes on defense in 2024.
Yeah, and we'll get into more on him as a player if he does end up committing to Miami. But I'm in a similar boat as you, Gabby. I get a lot of optimistic feedback on where Miami stands with him. Obviously, it'd be a big-time addition. You know, Miami's rotation at defensive end would be the best in the ACC and one of the best in the country when you combine him with Ruben Bain, Akeem Mesidor, and Elijah Alston. So those are that would be four guys that have produced at a big level in college to this point. Another guy who I think probably arrived here, late this morning, early afternoon, Simeon Barrow, Michigan State defensive tackle. Tell us what we need to know there, Gabby.
Yeah, Simeon Barrow was, expected to arrive, again, early Monday morning, like you mentioned, David, just before noon. So Miami's excited to get Barrow on campus. You know, that was I think that was the first defensive tackle that they truly went all in on. You know, the former Michigan State interior defensive lineman, has a bunch of schools sort of after him. I think Florida State's been involved. Missouri's been involved. A couple others, I'm sure. But Miami's going to get their opportunity this weekend to shoot their shot. And again, I think this is one that Miami would really, really love to add to that interior defensive line. We know how important that is. So, You know, I think the Hurricanes, again, I think it's just about the opportunity and seeing how they could potentially capitalize on that. Don't have a ton on just where that recruitment is right now. Hopefully, you know, of course, you stay locked into the site, and we'll definitely keep you guys posted on some of the results, or, you know, how things are on that visit are going throughout the day.
Yeah, and again, Miami lost Jared Harrison Hunt last week. I don't think we officially touched on it yet. We kind of hinted at that might be coming in last week's pod. He was the guy we were hinting at. So Miami does need to land at least one defensive tackle here this cycle. And Simeon Barrow, to me, is kind of a slight upgrade over Jared Harrison Hunt. Nice mix of body type, pass rush potential. Needs to clean up his tackling a little bit, but I do think the consensus on Simeon is he would be an upgrade over Jared Harrison Hunt. All right, let's get out of here, Gabby, on just these kind of big picture ideas. You know, outside of these guys we've talked about, again, the portal, I think, closes, what, Tuesday the 30th?
Yeah, I think Tuesday.
Midnight?
Yep.
So it's going to close. Again, guys don't have to commit anywhere by then, but you have to be in the portal by the end of Tuesday. This is me talking, Gabby. So if I'm out of school on anything, let me know. But outside of these guys we've discussed, I get the sense that Miami would probably still like to add a safety if it makes sense. Miami might still want to add a left guard if it makes sense, and maybe another defensive tackle, even if they get Simeon Barrow. Would you push back on any of that?
Definitely not. You know, I think a safety is definitely a position to continue to watch for Miami. You know, I think they're definitely going to explore their options there. I think left guard, I think, is more of they're more active in that market, I guess I would say, than I anticipated. I didn't realize that they were going to go looking for a left guard, you know, so much, but they are. You know, they're definitely on the hunt for one. I don't know if there's particularly one in at the moment that they're super crazy excited about, but I think that if the right name emerged, I think that they would be, you know, interested to an extent. I think Texas A&M's Bryce Foster, he's played a lot of center. You know, there's been some buzz there. I haven't gotten he does track in the spring. He has a lot of other stuff going on. I'm not even sure what's next for Bryce Foster. And I think Miami is on that same line of thinking as far as just, is he even worth pursuing? Because is it even there for him anymore? So I think Bryce Foster, while there has been some buzz there, and I think that there has been legs to it at some point, I'm just not sure if that's a situation that at the moment is, you know, kind of on the table. But I think he definitely is a name just in general based on his play that Miami is interested in as a potential left guard, not even as a center. I think they definitely explored that option. The kid from Maine that they offered, I can't remember his name right now, but he committed to Cincinnati, but I think that was a name that they liked to an extent. But yeah, I think left guard's definitely one to watch out for. And I think defensive tackle, again, if the right name emerges, saw they offered in Division II, I believe, or FCS, defensive tackle from Grand Valley State. I think it's somewhere in Michigan, apparently. They offered. I don't know how much traction there is there, so I'm not sure if that's a situation that's going to gain legs. But again, I think that they're very, very open to exploring options at each of those three positions. I'm not saying they will take some. I don't know if they will take someone at each of those three positions or at any single one of them. But I think that they are definitely looking around to seeing what's available.
Right. Again, this idea of Miami's all in right now. They're in win now mode. They're pushing to put together a top five transfer portal class, and their goal is to win the ACC, make the college football playoff. I think with the way things are trending, they have the top end talent to do it and the depth to do it. It's kind of all coming together for them. And those dominoes started when Cam Ward finally committed to Miami. So a lot of this momentum is due to having a big-time quarterback. Again, I mean, I'm going to get sidetracked, but when you look at Miami's offense, and we can get into this in another podcast, but if you look at Miami's offense, it has a chance to be the best offense Miami's had just in terms of production in 20 years. I think when you look at the talent too, it's a dangerous game, you know, trying to project NFL draft potential guys, because you never know how careers are going to turn. But there's guys like, to me, Gabby, in the projected starting 11, nine guys have a legit shot at potentially being drafted next year or the year after just because of eligibility stuff. But Cam Ward, Damian Martinez, I think Jacoby George has a shot to be a day three guy if he takes the next step. I think Xavier Restrepo can be a day three guy. I think Sam Brown can be a day three guy. I think Elijah Arroyo, as long as he's healthy and good, he can get drafted. Jalen Rivers, Inez Cooper. I think 2 years from now, Francis Maui-Noah is going to get drafted. That's nine guys on offense. I think major firepower. And then on defense, you know, the thing to get excited about is that D-line. If they're able to close on Tyler Barron, you know, it would be the best defensive end rotation in a while. And Miami's had some good ones here recently. In 2020, they had Jalen Phillips, Quincy Roche. Zach McLeod was decent as a rotational guy. In 2019, they had Rousseau, John Garvin, Trevon Hill, Scott Patchen. That's a decent defensive end rotation. In 2017, they had Joe Jackson, Chad Thomas, Trent Harris, and a young John Garvin. So that 2017 one would probably be the one you know, that might give this one some competition. But they are strong at the spots you need to be strong at if they are able to land Tyler Barron. And, you know, there would be no more excuses. It would be time to win big in 2024. So, again, CanesConnection.com, they're helping make all this happen. Go support those guys and what they do. We'll get out of here on that note. We'll have kind of a longer form podcast here coming up this week to give a holistic review of the transfer portal, what it means for the roster and the team here moving forward. But there's a lot to be excited about. Stay locked on to InsideTheU.com for Gabby's updates. He's all over it. And until next time, take care. We'll be right back.